are listening to the North Hills Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Hetzer.
Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We're in the second week on a series on marriage called An Excellent Marriage. And honestly, whether you are currently married or not, I believe this series will be a help to you. For those who will be looking to get married, I think one of the things this series is going to do is it's going to tell you it's pretty important who you end up marrying. Because as you're going to see tonight, if you're a lady, you better really think very carefully and prayerfully about who you marry. And you're going to see why I say that tonight. And men, of course, with last week, a lot of what we talked about and as we'll continue over the next few weeks, so important for you to be right in the will of God and prayerful and have the right priorities when you get married. And then those maybe you've been married for a long time and you can use a lot of this wisdom to help others and instruct others. Because everywhere we go, people are struggling and talking about their marriage and difficulties. And God can use these things. God can use you to be a help to them. And of course, all of those who are married, I'm hoping this will be a help to you. Matthew chapter 19. You can go ahead and put a marker in Ephesians 5. We're going to spend pretty much... Well, that's not true. We're going to spend a lot of time in Ephesians 5. We're going to look at quite a few verses tonight, though. And a lot of times when I preach on the subject of the wife, particularly some of the things I'm going to cover, I spend a lot of time setting the table and explanation for why. I'm not going to do a lot of that tonight, okay? We're just going to kind of dig into what the Bible says, and we're just going to have to be able to accept what the Bible says, okay? And a lot of times, especially on a Sunday morning, I'll do a lot of legwork and kind of, you know, help us along. I'm not going to do a lot of that tonight, okay? I'm just going to get kind of right into it and just going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to discern and use wisdom in a lot of the things that I'm saying and to understand that the extremes that could be deduced from them. If you weren't here last week, you really need to hear last week's message for the fullness of tonight's, okay? Because so much of what I'm talking about tonight must be married to, no pun intended, must be married to what I talked about last week, okay? And so the message is up, and we're also going to be putting all the outlines and the handouts online so people can download those and print those on the weeks that they miss. Unless our attendance drops, then we're going to get it all off because then I don't want people relying on that, all right? And so we want to be here in the flesh, all right? Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 4 of Matthew chapter 19. Actually, look at verse 3 to set the stage. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word tonight. Give me clarity. I pray you would help me, Lord, to deal with some of the more tender subjects of Scripture and to articulate well, certainly not to be flippant, Lord, to have a sense of gravity about these matters, but to feel enough liberty, Father, to be upfront about things as well. I pray you'd bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about this passage and the Pharisees who had come to Jesus and they were desiring to trip him up. They were desiring to tempt him. And as they did, they asked him a loaded question about marriage, specifically about divorce. And within that loaded question, they weren't really concerned about marriage as much as they were concerned about saying something that was going to get him in trouble that they could use against him verbally. And as Jesus is being asked this question about divorce, he references the Old Testament. He says, Have ye not read? And as Jesus is going to, in these next few verses, expound on the subject of marriage, he's not introducing anything that's new. He's simply going back to when marriage was first created, when God first created it in the Garden of Eden, and he is taking those truths that are found right there in Genesis chapter 2, and he's reminding them of the truths and expounding upon the truths of marriage. And over this last week and over the next few weeks, we're going to look at really the four major aspects of marriage that we find in those verses. And we started last week with the verse of verse 4, where he says that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And we explained how that when God created man, man was in a perfect world, in a wonderful garden, with a walk with God and all these things. Yet God's commentary was, it was not good for man to be what? Alone. That God's commentary on the situation was, it was not good that man was incomplete by himself. And so we saw that God created woman out of the man, and that the woman was created to help complete the man. And that the woman had aspects to her physically, emotionally, and spiritually that are different than the man, and the man the same thing with the female. And so we basically said this in our first message on marriage, is that the first aspect of marriage is this, the completion of marriage. That God created male and female to complete each other. And that's why, one of the reasons why, you can't have male, male, female, female, because God created them uniquely different to meet specific needs. By the way, I said this last week, that's why often when you have that kind of a relationship, one will end up taking on the dress, the speech, and the conduct of the opposite sex, because they really can't meet the other person's needs unless there is at least an attempt to be what God created the female or God created the male to be. And so last week we talked about how the man completes the wife. And we said that the husband primarily completes his wife by three things. One, he loves her. He gives of himself sacrificially to benefit her. Two, he leads her. He doesn't lead her like a dictator. He doesn't lead her like a general. He leads her like Jesus Christ leads the church. And we went into specifics of what that looks like. And then thirdly, we said that the husband learns his wife. That he goes on a, like a researcher, he begins a journey, a life journey of learning, of researching his wife to understand her so that he can better minister to her. And that's primarily how a husband completes his wife. Now, tonight, we're going to look at three ways in which the wife completes the husband, and all the men's were L's, and tonight, all the ladies will have the same letter, and I want to do that so it helps you remember. I know for me as a guy, it helps you remember. I'm supposed to love my wife, lead my wife, and learn my wife. That's very easy to remember, and we're going to do the same thing for the women tonight. We're going to give you the same letters to help you remember these critical things. So let's talk a little bit about how a wife completes her husband. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to look with me at verse 22. Is it warm in here? Okay, it is. Good. I was wondering if it's just me because I'm about to address the women, but I don't think it is because everyone's fanning. Don't worry, I won't freeze anybody out, okay? I'll do this for a couple seconds. If I have to walk back and forth, I will. It's okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. All right. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The first way a wife completes her husband is by submission to him. It is by submission to him. The Apostle Paul said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, I want to give you a definition of submission in the case of marriage. Here's how we'll define submission tonight. It is to place ourselves under the authority of our husbands. It is to place ourselves under the authority of our husbands for the decisions, direction, and details of our home. Say it again. It is to place ourselves under the authority of our husbands for the decisions, direction, and details of our home. When a person joins the military, they enter into a system of submission. You understand that? Someone signs their name on the dotted line and they are 18. They think they're getting liberated, but they're not. They're actually entering a system of submission. And the system of submission in the military is basically very simple, that whoever is above you in rank, you submit to. They are the authority. You are under them. And if you are placed in a particular place and in a certain area, that the person who's a higher ranking than you, if they are your leader, they are your authority, you have to, listen, you have to bring yourself under their authority for decisions, direction, and the details of whatever you're in. And by the way, that happens in work, that happens in school, that happens in all phases of life, that when we go into school, we understand it's a system of submission. I'm supposed to place myself under the authority of my teachers. I'm supposed to place myself under the authority of my principal. When I get a job and I accept the position, I am accepting a system of submission that I am going to place myself under the authority of those who are above me. When we're talking about marriage, that's what we're talking about in submission. We're talking about a wife choosing to place herself under the authority of her husband in the direction, the decisions, and the details of the home. Now, that's the definition of submission. I want to kind of look at the order of submission in the Christian realm. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think this helps paint a good picture of the order of submission. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says this, "But I would have you know that the head of every man, I would have you know that the head of every man is who? Christ. And the head of the woman is the who? And the head of Christ is God." Okay. Paul gives us an order of submission. Okay? Now, I think we get this, but I'm going to say this. Did you notice it's not an order of superiority, or it's not an order of who's better? Because you're not going to be able to get into a conversation whether Jesus or God the Father is better, are you? No, you're not. If you're wondering, the answer is no. They're co-equal. They're all God. So you're not going to say, well, God the Father is better than Jesus Christ. They're one God. So it's not an issue of, is the wife or the husband better? That's not the issue here. The issue is there's an order that God has given in submission. And by the way, in anything where there is, you're going to have harmony, there must be order. And where there is order, there must be someone who's in charge. Okay? And here's how God laid it out. God, the Father, is the head. The head of what? The head of everything. God, the Father, is the head. He is superior in rank. If you're an NCO, he's the E9. He is all the way at the top. That's God, the Father. Okay? He is the highest. Okay? Then you have Jesus submits to God. What do we mean Jesus submits to God? Well, the same definition. Jesus has brought himself under the authority of the Father for the direction, details, and decisions of his life. Did he not? Oh, wait a minute. Why did Jesus go to earth? The Father. What did Jesus say he must be about while he was on earth? His Father's business. When Jesus was in the garden and he made known perhaps what his desire would be, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but whose be done? God the Father's." Jesus brought himself. No, it wasn't a matter of power. It wasn't a matter of wisdom. It wasn't a matter of ability. It was a matter of submission. Jesus submitted himself under the authority of God the Father. Okay? Man does not live unto himself. Okay? A man may be the husband and the head of his home, but he's not the full-blown head because Jesus Christ is his head. Man submits to Jesus. Okay? That is critical. That is critical. That's why we took these two subjects and we broke them in half, and I spent a whole hour talking to the men about the importance of Jesus-led leadership. Because it's important that for a marriage to function right, for there to be proper order, that the man can't just be a loose cannon out here doing whatever he wants to do. He needs to be under the submission and the direction. In other words, his decisions, his direction, and his details better be coming from Jesus Christ. Amen. He should be under the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God should be his governor. The Holy Spirit should be his guide. The truths of Scripture should be directing him. There's not a blanket that man is just the leader and they just do whatever they think. They're supposed to be a leader under who have submitted themselves to Jesus Christ. And that's very important. Then the woman submits to the man. Oh, man. Oh, male chauvinist. No. It's not male chauvinism. It's not about superiority. It's not about intellect. We already said that. It's about a woman with all of her ability and all of her wisdom bringing herself under the authority, the directions, the decisions, and the details of the home. Okay? That's the order of submission that God created. Now, I want to make a statement about that because this is very important. If God created it this way, then I think it's fair to say that God created the man to be a head. And that God created the woman to submit. Okay, submit is not a bad word. If submit's a bad word, then Jesus is doing something bad. Okay? In other words, God wired men to lead their homes. Remember we talked about the completion of a marriage? God created the man to fulfill that role. God created the woman, okay, to fall under that. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I believe this to be true. I believe the scriptures bear this out. I believe that every woman, no matter how far of a feminist she has come, I believe every woman has been made by God with a desire to be under a husband who is under Christ leading. I believe that. I believe that every woman, listen, no matter what has happened to them, no matter what society has told them, I believe every woman has within them, wired by God, a desire to be under the authority of a man who is under the authority of Jesus Christ leading the home. Amen. I believe that. I totally believe that. Now, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of this concept of submission? Well, we already said it's to complete. Okay? The chief purpose for this order is to complete the husband and the wife. I kind of got ahead of myself. And my point there is this, is that God created the man to lead and God created the wife to be under the man. He created it that way. And that is the purpose of it. The purpose is not to say one is superior than the other. Okay? I think a lot of husbands, if they were honest, they would admit that their wife is superior than them in a lot of areas. And if you're not, then you don't know what you're talking about. Okay? There's just a lot of truth to that. It's not an issue of superiority. It's an issue of God wired men to lead and God wired women to submit. Okay? So the chief purpose for this order is to complete the husband and the wife. Now, I want to give you a deeper level to the motive of this. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to notice the motive of submission. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the who? The Lord. Okay. The act of submission is deeper than just the completion of marriage. It is also an act of worship to the Lord. Okay? It's deeper than just the marital relationship. It is also an act of worship to God. When a wife brings herself under the authority of a husband, you know what she's doing? She's serving God. She's serving God. She's worshiping the Lord. It's an act of worship. She's doing it as unto God. Okay? Listen, can we be honest? There are many moments when men do not carry themselves in a manner worthy of submission. But we're not always doing it for the man. We're doing it for the Lord. Okay? There are times, honestly, think about it this way, there are times when a woman is not behaving in a way worth leading her. But he's doing it as unto the Lord. Okay? And that's very important when we're talking about this attitude of placing ourselves under the authority of someone. It's not just for that person, because that person really may not always be what you want them to be. But God always is what He wants you to be, and you can always worship God in it. And I'll be honest, I believe God finds great delight when a woman submits to the Lord, even when he's not everything he's supposed to be. I believe the Lord is very honored by that. Okay, now let me give you some areas of submission. Okay? Some areas of submission. I'm gonna try to bring clarity to this. Finances. The finances. This is things like purchasing, budgeting, savings, giving, providing. Okay, what do I mean by an area of submission? Here's what I mean. The husband should be wearing the burden of decisions for that. Okay? The husband should be wearing the burden of the money. Okay? If we're the leaders of the home, we ought to be bearing the burden of the finances. Okay? Now, I think some of you are like me. You know, if you have a wife who's extremely capable, who's very good at handling things like the finances, you know, it's really easy to do. It's easy to just kind of say, all right, God bless you. Just run the money. Okay? But listen, do we not know there's a burden with the money? Do we know that tonight? There's a burden with paying bills and budgeting and all that stuff. And a leading husband is supposed to make those heavy decisions. And let me just say, making the decisions isn't just like, okay, we're going to do this. It's like being the leader in it, okay? Saving the money, being the example in it. But the husband's supposed to wear the burden of the finance. He's also supposed to wear the burden. There should be the submission of child rearing, okay? That includes the rules, consequences, privileges, and even friendships. Okay? Husbands, you should not just pass the baton of child rearing to your wives. Okay? You should be leading and guiding and making decisions. And I'm not talking about micromanaging. Okay? I'm talking about being the burden bearer, and wives, you need to submit to your husband in that area. Okay? I want to go back because I kind of got backwards. I want to preach to the men all the time. So let me go back to finances. Women, ladies, if your husband wants to crunch the budget in areas, you got to follow him on it, okay? If your husband wants to withhold certain purchases, you got to go with him on it, okay? If you have a husband who's a very, very poor with his finances and you guys got to figure out a way to help him get to that place, I understand that, okay? But you want to have the husband in the place where you're submitting to him in the areas of purchasing, budgeting, and you shouldn't be out of the credit card doing a bunch of stuff and then just letting him find out when the bill comes in the mail, okay? Child rearing, okay? Men in the book of Proverbs primarily bring the discipline, and the women in the book of Proverbs a lot of times bring truth, love, and tender care. There needs to be a balance, but you've got to be willing to submit to the husband and the rules and the consequences and the authority of what he's trying to accomplish, even when he's wrong. Spiritual leadership means submitting to your husband in the areas of church selection and involvement, teaching and instruction of the home, and the spiritual decisions of the home. Okay, the wife is supposed to submit to those things. Residence. Where are we going to live? Where are we going to live? You know what happens in a lot of marriages? The wife is already predetermined where the family is going to live. And here, we're going to live by mama. Okay? Listen, the husband needs to be the decision maker about where we're going to live, where we're going to reside, where we're going to stay. We already talked about last week, he's not just flying off the handle. He's supposed to communicate and work through this. But he should be making the decision. Listen, you don't want the kind of marriage where you're living somewhere because mama wants to live there so she can go visit her parents all the time. Okay, that's not healthy. Okay? The husband needs to be having the direction and the decisions of making those things. Okay? Fellowship, friendship. Okay? The husband should be able to have discernment. You know what? We need to back out of this relationship a little bit. I think this person might be a bad influence. Or you know what? I think we need to spend more time with these particular people. The husband should have the liberty to be able to have some discernment and direction when it comes to the fellowship and the friends that people are keeping. And that includes the children with that. Okay? I also put in their workload. Okay? When to ease up, when to push. The husband should be dictating and deciding all those different things. In other words, here's what I'm trying to get across. In all the major areas of life, the husband really should be the one making the major decision. He should be the one that finally comes across. Okay? Now, in a good marriage, we're going to talk about communication later. It's not like I'm saying that the husband walks in the door and says, okay, babe, here's the rules. Okay, babe, here's your budget. Okay, babe, here's where we're living. I hope you like Antarctica. I mean, that's not what we're saying. There should be communication. There should be conversation. But at the end of the day, The wife should be willing to place herself under the authority of what her husband says at the end of it all. When he says, babe, this is what we need to do, she needs to say, okay, let's do that. Babe, this is what we need to buy. Okay. Okay. Are you starting to see why it's real important on who you pick to who you're going to marry? No, I'm just saying, if you're a young lady in here, you probably want to be real careful about who you marry, because you're supposed to spiritually submit to his authority. And if he's got 10 credit cards and he's got a sports car and he doesn't have any money and he's in debt and he can't keep a job and he can't walk with God and he can't stay morally pure, you probably don't want to marry that guy, because you're probably not going to want to submit to his authority. And if you are in that situation, then you're just going to have to work through that and beg God to do something. Because the scriptures even talk about a woman who wins her husband by her submission. And you're going to have to be submissive, and you're going to have to go with it and pray that God gets a hold of his heart, because that's the way God made the marriage to be. And you just trying to take the reins and trying to fix the marriage and trying to run the husband, that's not going to fix the marriage. So I just want to stop and say that one of the big things I wrote as I'm going through this is, ladies, please pay attention to who you're marrying. Amen. So those are just some of the general areas of submission, okay? I need to get through this. Whew. The spirit of submission. The spirit of submission. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 33 again. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay, listen, you can submit with reverence and you cannot. You understand what I'm saying? It's not enough to just say, fine, whatever you say, you're the boss. It's not enough, all right? You understand what I'm saying? It's not enough to say, well, kids, listen to dad, he knows everything. That's not the way you want to go about this. Okay, you want to submit with reverence. Okay, let me give you some practical examples of kind of what that looks like. It means maintaining his decisions when he is absent. What do you mean? Okay, the husband came in and said, this is what we're going to do, kids. This is how we're going to do this. Now, I've got to go to work and I've got to do some things. And when he leaves, the wife says, doesn't say, okay, forget about what he said. Let's just go do that. I know he said we shouldn't watch that, but you know, he doesn't have to know. Okay, that's not true submission. True submission isn't, okay, we're all going to say yes to daddy when he's present so he doesn't blow a gasket, and as soon as he walks out of the door, we're going to do whatever we want. It's not, true submission isn't, okay, I know we had an understanding, but then I'm going to call you on the phone later at work and explain how I really think this is a better way to go, so I went ahead and let them do that anyway. Okay? That's not submission. Okay? Another aspect is this: avoid speaking ill of him to the children and others. Okay? Wives, you need to be real careful of what you say about your husband to your children and to others. Okay? Because if you are irreverent with your husband to your children, guess how they're going to be with him? And if you are irreverent about your husband around to other people, guess what they're going to be to him? Okay? It also means, let me give you this one. This is very important. Avoid arguing in public. Okay? This is, I think in the younger generation, this has become a lot more acceptable, but it's really not acceptable. Okay? Don't argue in public. And I mean, when I mean public, I even mean in front of the kids. Okay, listen, there are times where you're going to have to talk some things out, right? But don't talk them out here. Don't talk them out in the parking lot. Don't talk them out at a friend's house. Okay, when you guys are playing Scrabble with some friends, that's not the time to start hashing out things. Okay, the time to hash out things is in the privacy of your bedroom and calmness, working through it all. And by the way, it's hard. It's hard, okay? Be positive and enthusiastic with his leadership. Okay, now I understand that can be dampened because of poor leadership, But just keep asking God to help you. Listen, I think that Daniel, when he submitted to King Nebuchadnezzar, I think he was enthusiastic about his fellowship. I don't think King Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. We can submit to leaders with enthusiasm and positivity, even when they're not all that they're supposed to be. Okay, here's another one, a very important one. Do not force him to convince you before you support him. Okay, I'm going to submit to you after we go to trial. And you're going to explain to me how this is the best decision for us. Okay, this is what you want to do with the money. This is what you want to do with the kids. Fine. But I need you to not just explain. I need you to convince me. You understand the difference? There's a difference between explaining and convincing. Okay? True submission, reverent submission isn't, okay, when I agree with you, then I'll do what you say. Okay? He said, submit in all things. All things. Okay? So let me just wrap up this whole concept of submission. It's a wife saying, I'm going to place myself under my husband's authority in decisions and direction and details of the home. Okay? Would there be exceptions? Sure. If he's asking you to violate the Word of God, that, and clear violation. Okay? Not like hazy violation that you think's a violation. Clear violation. If he's asking you to do something that would be abusive to yourself or to your children, that would be an exception. Okay? That's a violation of Scripture. Okay? Do we understand that? We use reason. Okay? But generally speaking, in your home, there should be an understanding. He is the husband, and I complete him. Okay? Part of my completing of him is I bring myself under his authority. A lot of husbands are miserable because their wives will not help complete them by just being under their authority. And they have to wrestle and grapple all the time to get anything accomplished. Okay? All right. So, a wife completes her husband by submission. Let me give you another one. Point two. A wife completes her husband by supporting him. By supporting him. This is different than submission. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. If you're with me tonight, say amen. Amen. All right, ladies, don't kill me, all right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. All right. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an, what are the next two words? A helpmeet for him. The word help means aid or succor. Aid or succor. S-U-C-C-O-R. Okay? The word was used in Scripture, listen to this, to refer to God coming to the aid of man when they fought for him. It was used to speak of when God would come to the aid of man to help the man fight when man was fighting for him. Moses named his son Eleazar, and part of that word speaks of the aid or help that God gave when he delivered him from Pharaoh. It's to come alongside and aid. It's to come alongside and help. The word meet, this isn't in there, but I'm going to give this to you. The word meet means counterpart. The other side means to be the other side, to complete, to be the counterpart. I want you to think of it like this. In every structure, there are materials that are designed to aid and support the building so that it stands strong, that it withstands winds or earthquakes, etc. They might be support beams, pillars, or arches that reinforce the building. Okay? Being a wife, part of completing your husband is being pillar, being a support to help him lead and do the job that God's called him to do. That's what a helpmeet is. A helpmeet is a support beam. A helpmeet is an archway for her husband that helps him stand, that helps him go strong. She's his aid that allows him to keep fighting for God into doing what he's supposed to be doing for the home. But let me give you three ways that you can help support him. A is the most important. A is become an excellent homemaker. Become an excellent homemaker. That word isn't very popular anymore, but it's good. 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5, Paul is giving instruction concerning widows. And you had elderly widows who were now at retirement age, but you had these younger ladies who were still young and vibrant in health and all these different things. And in this, Paul kind of gives us a pattern for young biblical womanhood. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, he says this. He says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house." Okay? Guide the house. So they marry, they bear children, they guide the house. That's the concept of being a homemaker. The concept is you are the manager, you are the CEO of your home. Okay? You are the overseer of your home. Okay? One of the most pivotal ways a wife completes her husband is by being a good guider of the house. Okay? Listen, if the house is a mess, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about figuratively. If the house is a mess, the husband will be wobbly. If his home is not strong and fortified from his wife, he will not be strong and fortified outside the home. Okay? Let me give you some examples of what that means. Okay? It means learning how to keep an organized and clean home. Now, for some of you, this may sound totally foreign and 50s and all of that. Let me say, this is not backwards. And this is not like just picking up laundry and picking up socks. An organized and a well-run home, it's a machine. It's an amazing thing if you know women who know how to do it right. Okay? It's something it's awesome to see. Okay? It also involves learning how to teach and train the children. It means learning how to, from the time they're a baby, learning how to work with them, learning how to teach them, learning how to train them, learning how to discipline them, learning how to instruct them, learning how to take care of them, being a good mom. Okay? It also means this, learning how to cook healthy and enjoyable meals. Now, listen, my generation and the generations younger, a lot of my generation, the younger generation, our moms and dads kind of dropped the ball on that, on transferring that. And a lot of my generation, the younger generation, live on McDonald's. Okay? They live on fast food. Okay, that's not a good home. Okay? A good home, the wife needs to learn about food and needs to learn about cooking and needs to understand how it works. Okay? And let me just say this. The more you understand this and the better you get at it, the funner it is. And we're going to work on some of these things, trying to help especially our young couples learn more about these things and be educated in these areas. I'd encourage you, if you say, "I don't have a clue how to cook anything," you need to see my wife, you need to see Mrs. Reese, you need to see Mrs. Dan, you see ladies in our church who know how to do these things. Don't be embarrassed by that. Okay? Most women nowadays are not being taught at a young age how to do that. Okay, part of it's because we live in a double income society now. Okay, and that's kind of changing the dynamics of things. I'm going to talk more about that in a second. Okay, you need to learn those. Learn how to make healthy, enjoyable meals. Learn how to make your home a place of joy and rest. Okay, get creative in the decor. Get creative in the ambiance of your home. Figure out ways to make your home a happy place, a joyful place, and a restful place for when your husband comes home. Now, I want to say a couple things about this. We do live in a double-income society more and more and more. And husbands have to, a husband has to be realistic with his expectations of his wife. If you're going to have your wife work, because that's your choice, if you're going to have your wife out there working 40 hours a week, then you can't expect her to be, Martha Stewart, okay? Well, don't do that anyway, but you know what I'm saying, all right? You need to temper your expectations. If you're going to say, "Babe, I want you to go to school full-time and work full-time, and if that's what's going to be important to your home, if that's what you're going to major on, then don't turn around and say, 'Well, wait a minute, how come you're not making me home-cooked bread?'" And I mean, you've got to temper your expectations. But let me say this. You should be really careful about what you're sacrificing for what. Do you hear me? You should be real careful about what you're sacrificing for what. In other words, you say, well, yeah, I'm all about this. Let's just make the money. Let's just make the money. Be careful, because the home is the far greater value than money. Okay? And don't rob your wife of an opportunity to be all that God wants her to be as a person. And don't rob her of the opportunity to complete your marriage because you're too busy wanting to get a nicer car or to live in a little bit bigger house. Okay? So ladies, one of the ways in which you complete your husband is by supporting him by being an excellent homemaker. This is a journey. This is a lifetime journey. Cooking is a lifetime journey. Organization is a lifetime journey. Decoration, all that stuff, gardening, whatever you want to call it, it's all a lifetime journey that you learn, and God blesses and creates an atmosphere of a home that he'll greatly use. And listen, you can't get around it. Okay, it's in the book. Okay? It's in the book. All right. Now, nextly, another way to support your husband is to be a good friend. To be a good friend. Let me just give you some points here. Listen to him. Well, women typically are exceptional in these areas. Listen to him. But here's a big one. Encourage him. When a husband's wife encourages him, it's like she just set his soul on fire. He could hear compliments from his buddies. He can hear compliments from friends. But if he's a real man, when his wife compliments him, he's ready to go to war. Because it's just something about the encouragement of a wife. Encourage, encourage, encourage. When you see him down, when you see him discouraged, when you see him starting to get on himself, encourage him. Speak positive, okay? Compliment him. Compliment him, okay? Listen, if he's got a nice dapper suit on that day, or if he's been working out a little bit and put on a little lean muscle, compliment him. If he got a nice haircut, let him know. Let him know. Listen, it doesn't matter if you've been married 60 years. Complimenting is still a good idea, ladies, okay? Okay, the last one, the man probably would like me to ignore, but I'm not. Wound him. Wound him. Faithful are the wounds of a what? Friend. What do I mean by wound him? I mean this. Okay, sometimes the husband needs a friend to tell him what he doesn't want to hear. Okay? In other words, if you see your husband and he's just, listen, he doesn't want to submit to any authority. He doesn't get along with this person. He can't keep this job. He can't keep that job. He can't go to this church. Listen, if you see patterns in your husband's life, you can only encourage him for so long before you're deceiving him. And you can't just say, oh, well, they just don't understand, honey. They just don't get it. You're such an amazing man. That only goes so far until finally you say, you know what, babe, I need to talk to you about something. This is an issue. And I'm not trying to come down on you. And it needs to be the right time. It needs to be the right place. It needs to be the right way. But sometimes a wife needs to articulately wound him and say to him, I didn't say that word right, needs to wound him and say, honey, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm not giving up on you. But you need to get a life. No, not really. You need to get a job. Okay? Come on, just, all right, you with me? All right. Let me give you the last one, C, of supporting him. You, by using your skills to help him. I put it this way to kind of give a visual, like being his secretary. Okay? You know what I think is really sad is there's a lot of businessmen, executives, and workers all across the world who have amazing secretaries, but those women are wives to a husband that they never help. Some of it's the husband's fault, some of it's the wife's fault. Okay? Wives, a lot of you have skills and you can make spreadsheets, you have the ability to help write things, you have the ability to articulate things, and you can help your husband as he's trying to accomplish. I'm not talking about writing his paper for him, but maybe helping him sometimes. Okay? I can't tell you how many times in my life, in the ministry and in life, I've wanted to do something and I've had the vision and I've told my wife and she's done something for me that saves me a ridiculous amount of time. Okay? That is support. Okay? And only you know what your skills are and you know what your husband needs. And husbands, we can't be too proud to let them... Listen, sometimes their stuff's better. And so, yeah, you may need to manage the money, but you may not really know what in the world you're doing. And she may be able to give you some help and some insight to help you along the way to help be the leader you're supposed to be. She may be able to help put a budget spreadsheet together for you that you can actually work with and use. Okay? She might be able to come into your shop, not your shop, because I'm going to get in trouble. She might be able to come into an area of something you work in, and she might be able to bring a little order to it for you. Okay? And so, ladies, you help your husband, you support your husband by knowing your skills and ability, and being like Eve in the Garden of Eden as she helped him trim the trees. Be in there and help him in the trees that he's trying to cut. Okay? By using your skills to help him. So one, a wife completes her husband by submitting to him. Two, a wife completes her husband by supporting him. And then three, a wife completes her husband by being sweet to him. By being sweet to him. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This is a really important aspect to everything I just said. Look at Titus chapter 2, look at verse 4. Paul says this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The word love there is not the normal word. It's not agape. It's the Greek word philos, where we get the word Philadelphia. The city of brotherly what? Love. Okay? It speaks of, let's just say it this way, a tender affection. Depends on the context, but it speaks of a tender affection. Okay. One of the most important aspects that a wife can bring to the marriage is her sweetness. Is her tender affection. But only a woman has. Okay, like this. And I'm gonna narrow it down to two particular sweet areas. One is sweet words. Sweet words. Okay? You can, listen, if you're submitting and you're supporting, but your words aren't sweet, you're not really doing any of that. All right? Sweet words. What does that mean? Well, affectionate words. Affectionate words. Words of, you know, of affirmation. Well, that's the second one. Words, affirming words. Affectionate words are warm, kind, sweet. Affectionate. The second one is affirming words. Okay, those are words that says, I believe in you. I'm here for you. I love you. Okay? Complimentary words. They're sweet words of compliments. And then, of course, romantic words. Okay? I think you understand that. I'm not going to get into that. Okay, sweet words, then sweet touch. Sweet touch. Okay? I'm just going to go through these things like holding the hands. Okay? Touch. Embracing. And of course, intimacy. All right? Sweet touch. This is out of curiosity. How many men like black coffee with nothing in it? Raise your hand. Okay, just a handful. How many of you put half and half sweetener, creamer in your coffee? Okay, just a couple of you. There's varying degrees. Some people are like really bitter coffee. Some people like really sweet coffee. But guess what? No man likes bitter wives. I'm serious. No man likes... Listen to what Proverbs 21:19 says. It is better to dwell in the wilderness. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Listen, there needs to be sweetness from the wife. If you're cold, if you're tough, if you're hard, you're not completing your mate. Well, that's just the way I am. That's fine. Change. Change. If a husband says, I'm just abusive, that's the way I am. Change. I can't lead. Change. Okay, I'm not sweet. I'm not into physical affection. Change. Become that way. This is a spiritual attribute. Ask God to help you be affectionate in touch and in words. Listen, ladies, do not withhold sweetness to your husbands. That is not a completing element, all right? So, ladies, if you want to complete your husband, you need to submit to your husband, you need to support your husband, and you need to be sweet to your husband, all right? And all the husbands said, amen. And so, now look at the perfect balance here. And the husband, you have the leader, you have the lover, and you have the learner. Okay? And then the wife, you have the submitter, you have the supporter, and you have the sweetener. Okay? You know what that is? That's two people, different, unique, completing one another. May God help us to be the kind of husbands and wives to complete. Now, very quickly, before I pray, I want to make mention of the way that the homework works, because I think there was a little bit of confusion. Ladies, you go through it, and on that first line, you're going to do a plus or a minus if you believe that overall that statement is important to your husband or unimportant. If you think this is a really important statement for my husband, put a plus. If you don't think he really cares about it, put a minus. Then you'll notice the blanks, seldom, all the time, et cetera, et cetera. Then check the one you think you do, okay? After you've done that, then have your husband go through it and let him plus and minus the ones that are important to him, and then have him put where he thinks you are, and then go over it. Now, some of the men you might have messed up last week, you can redo it this week if you didn't do it right, and then by next week we'll have that done and we'll move on to the second aspect of marriage. So we have completed the aspect of the completion of marriage. Let's pray.